Ooh, another special, special, special edition of Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Virginia. We're in Norfolk, Virginia right now, and then from here we're going to Outer Banks, and then we're going to warp speed it down to Lafayette, Louisiana for Red Pill Expo, G. Edward Griffin's 90th birthday, so we didn't want to miss that. And then we'll be heading, maybe we'll go visit Tim Fry at Roberts and Roberts Brokerage in Pensacola, then my niece in Jacksonville, and then we got commitments to get down to the Keys, and then we got to go to Boca Chica, Texas to get the picture with the Starship and Love Bus, and, you know, there might be a couple other stops there in the micro moments we have, and we got to drive all night every day for the rest of our lives to get back to Phoenix by Thanksgiving. That's the goal. We'll see, okay? But, you know, there's a couple of, there's an intentional community they're doing in Arkansas they want us to stop by and look at. I really don't want to have to go to Springfield, Missouri, you know, just to have the bus engine before warranty's over to have them make sure I don't get a third breakdown or whatever. So there's, we're trying to cram the rest of the Love Bus Liberty Tour in before the end of the year, so I don't have to go back out in January, February to finish our commitments, because we're going to be starting to build with aircrete infused with graphene to create a building material that we can make a bunch of domes. And we're doing one in Camp Verde in the Verde Valley in central Arizona and south of Flagstaff and north of Phoenix. And we're going to be doing one there as a test, you know, for a friend that needs, you know, something, a new home he's building, he wants it for whatever. So we get to experiment with that and get all our techniques down. Then in May, we go to Washington State to build up the 5. So we're going to, by the time we get done with that, we're going to have it down. And then Don and I will be building our home, you know. And so 22 is a building the machines and getting the techniques down. We've been traveling around the country, a lot of people doing this, because I wanted to have Brian Sovereign on. We're going to be talking about a lot. We're just going to yak it and get caught up here. Brian and I are friends for a long time. And for the past 10 years, Dr. Brian Sovereign, Dr. Brian Sovereign has been the host of the popular science and tech podcast, Sovereign Tech. You know, with a history of working for multiple tech companies and having been involved in the cyberpunk community since the 90s, his work has been featured in The Guardian, Gizmodo, and other major outlets. As an author, his books include the top-selling Android security model, Dark Android. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. He is presently a denizen of the freer state of New Hampshire. So they're not claiming totally free, right? So
No.
You know, this is, and there's a couple of things, a lot of stuff in tech that we wanted to get caught up on. The reason I bring up this community stuff is because as we've been around the country, and we go to a lot of these events and festivals, and we've overlapped with Derek Broza's activation tour probably at least 3 or 4 times. And when he's talking to, you know, like-minded libertarian anarchists, leave me alone as voluntarist people, the one at MidFest, the event there, even though it's kind of the same presentation and so on, it was just so much better when you're in a crowd of your own and you just relaxed, you're not, you know, having to, you know, entertain or put, you know, convince anybody of anything or, you know.
Absolutely.
There's no liberal heckler or something, you know, whatever.
You can actually get to doing things instead of having to, you know, cover the basics, right?
Right. You know, and, yeah. And it was, and him and Miriam did such a good job. And I really, it was so timely that they do this activation tour, like the Love Bus Liberty Tour. I mean, you know, everything we've been screaming about forever is now, you know. And, but everybody keeps talking, they say the word community. And one of the things in the community is communication. When we do, you go to piratewithoutborders.com and you'll see the top categories that we have up there is communication. Have you been to Pirates, Brian?
You know, we'll
pull it up because it applies here. Well, when I finally let you monologue me, but the
sure.
But you know, the technology is so important that we've been working really hard on the IPFS and the pirate box and being able to store and access data, ones and zeros. How come I can't just put it up and everybody be able to access them? I mean, you know, how hard is this? Well, apparently harder than, you know, what the internet was made to allow, but it is happening. And just last night, we had already planned to talk about another issue we'll get into. Cape Technologies, formerly CrossRider, is a malware install. You need the new Adobe flash drive, and then of course they throw a bunch of other crap in there and do it. Well, this company changed its name and bought a whole bunch of VPNs. You know, so they got their client list, the data list, they may even get the list of you looking list. I mean, you know, so this is, and of course they're in Israel, so that, you know, that doesn't help either. So, you know, I'm going, okay, this is getting serious about the surveillance and the creating of a ledger on you. Well, then we find out that this has been going on for a while, that Google has a thing called Google Ledger or something. Are you familiar with this? You know, we just started covering this. What they're doing is they archive, which is nothing new, you know, they're archiving all searches, all everything, anything you've seen, done, do, and then you go, yeah, okay, well, what's new? What's new is this. They're doing it and calling it a digital DNA profile. And what it is like they would look at your DNA and all of a sudden, you know, some, you know, slaughter bot drone comes in and kills a 7-year-old kid on the playground. You're like, what the hell was that about? Because he had the DNA of William Wallace, brave heart of hell no. We go, whatever, we found out in our studies that anybody that has this expressed gene in the DNA, we just, they're no longer for this world because we got to worry about them in the future. Well, the digital DNA is kind of the same thing. In China, when they do their surveillance and you have your social credit score kind of deal, and you got some dissident that not playing ball and whatever, not only do they, especially if they leave the country, not only, you know, he can't come back or she can't fly on an airline anymore or something like that, they punish your parents because they blame your parents for making a dissident. You know, you didn't raise them right, okay? So you're in trouble. Well, this digital Google Ledger thing is that. It is multi-generational digital mapping. So when you, what you're doing, they're like, well, then of course, we look at the kids doing it. Well, then we go back and we look at those parents. Oh, it was that freaking voluntarist Dr. Sovereign, you know, had a kid and he infected them, you know. So they're looking at creating a digital record that goes generations before and after. And it's starting when? Now, or certainly from our generation going to the next. So it makes sense. I mean, of course, you know, there's going to be some influence from grandma, grandpa, uncle, whatever the heck, and family kind of thing. But it's not just. So you go, is it nature or nurture? Well, the thing is it just a biological DNA thing? And is it expressed in, you know, what they're searching and how they're thinking? When I got burned in, you know, I got skin grafts of whatever. I got burned in 94, okay? And I remember laying in bed doing my 3400, 3900 baud modem kind of, you know, email, text mess kind of crap. And that's when they started doing Epsilon and Carnivore and all this other stuff. And in my, you know, recreated-induced recovery mode, as I'm sitting there, I'm going, all of a sudden, I got it. I go, I see what they're doing. For the first time in human history, the king has been able to get into the subject's head. They didn't have that before. And the closest they got was confession with the priest that was, you know, the buddy of the king of whatever, which, you know, don't think that didn't happen. So I'm going, all right. So now for the first time, en masse, they have for a whole country, the world, able to get inside how you're thinking, what you're thinking, who you're thinking it with, all this stuff. So this is where, of course, Brian comes in, and I want to let him monologue me on all these subjects. They're buying up and taking over VPNs so that you're not private and whatever the hell you do is if you ever were anyway. And then they start giving up, you know, codes and information from Proton Mail. You know, you start to find signals, you know, hacked by the FBI. You start to find out, you know, so if you think in any ones and zeros you're putting in and you're being private, you haven't been paying attention. So then we find out that there's a new product that's coming out of China. It's called the Meshtastic T-Beam. And what it is a small, looks like, now, it could be Arduino, you know, dated Raspberry Pi. And it's a mesh network that they're just now starting to develop, and hackers and stuff are getting access to this. And I sent Brian a video on it. He hadn't even watched yet because I just got this information. So what we're going to do is I'm going to send Brian and friends five of these. Now, they're not free, but they're only like $30 a piece. I'm going to send five. What do you need for a good test? At least three, four, five. Yeah, I think five. So I'm going to send five to Brian and friends to check out to create a mesh network. And then it's mine. Thanks for setting it up. But, you know, it's so you guys can play with it. Because this is the most important for me is communication. When you do these communities, you start having a Liberty community in the Canyon of the small community of community. And our campsite, like we do Jackalope, we in northeastern Arizona, we have an annual festival that's off-grid. You know, no signal, you're out in the middle of the forest, and no what you, we, you're lucky, you know, Jack uses Bitcoin and gets some porta-potties, because other than that, there's nothing. Well, what happened was, is everybody's wanting to know what's the schedule, where we get, how we communicate with each other. Hey, come over here. You know, the popos arrived here. I hear helicopters. I mean, whatever the heck. You need some kind of communication. Well, that's what this does. And it meshes, you know, through, and people link up to it to your devices. And so, I mean, it really sounds interesting. And I think Brian and the community in the freer state of New Hampshire, this is a perfect opportunity for us to check on this. So I'm going to, you know, help that along, and we'll be talking about it. So we're going to order it right now on AliExpress, but, you know, bandwidth is being a pain in the butt. So we'll take care of it. And Brian sending me his address. So however long it takes for them to unload some cargo ship, which is God knows when or whatever. So we'll get started on this. But I need, since Brian and I haven't talked for a while, I want you to monologue me where we are in tech, what you've been doing, what your goals are. And my big thing is now, of all the stuff that we've done in a lot of the categories, it's now the building of homes. Cheap, quick, fast, dome, aircrete, infused with graphene, the fast, we're building. The first one we're going to be doing in Arizona, in central Arizona, higher elevation there for a friend. Then we're going to Washington State in May, and we're going to be building several. Then Don and I, you know, we'll start working on our own home after, you know, we learn all this. But at the end of this, we're going to have equipment, technique, and this is all new material and stuff. This, a lot of people have been doing different things, and we're going to try and upgrade it for the community. As we go into communities, everybody, what, you're all in tents, you know, trailers? I mean, what do you, you know, we need to have land where we can build homes, grow our own food, and be able to be off the grid. My questions are three. What do I have to do? What can't I do? What's your conflict resolution? A lot of people want me to go, you know, and be part of their hippie commune, and we're productive, Don and I, and, you know, we'll actually work. And I'm going, yeah, of course you will. What obligations do I have? You know, who I got to defend of coming in drunk with the sheriff's department behind him, sliding into the compound of, you know, protect me or something. I mean, you know, and you know what I'm talking about, Brian. I mean, you know, there's always, yeah, you know, we got issues with people. So the communication part of it is going to be essential. What are your thoughts? Monologue me on the VPN thing that's going on. Mesh networks, what you guys have been working on, what's got your focus? If you don't talk for at least 20 minutes, I'll be disappointed. Go.
You got it. Well, it's always great to be on, Ernie. And I got to tell you, the thing I've always loved about you, I mean, we've been friends for a long time. I mean, you absolutely are a doer. No one is waiting on you, ever. And so, and I appreciate that because, you know, that does seem pretty rare, you know, in a community of people that are very concerned and rightfully concerned about a lot of what's going on. You know, myself, yeah, I've been going for, well, Sovryn Tech, my podcast, of course, it's Sovryn Tech. And you can go to sovryntech.com to check that out. But I've been doing that for, it's been going for 10 years now. And it's something that's only growing. Now, that part's hopeful, right? Because I talk about tech very frankly. I pay no fealty to any of the tech giants. Really, I pay no fealty to anybody. And, you know, I'll call it how I call it, or call it how I see it. Now, in that, I mean, you know, in 10 years, there have been a lot of changes. Like you mentioned at the top, I mean, you know, I've written the literal security manual on Android devices. So I'm pretty intimately aware of Android, how it works, the innards, the whole thing. myself, you know, as far as like anything within the duopoly of the smartphone space, you know, Android and iPhone, you know, at this stage in 2021, I've essentially like just thrown my hands up. I've given up, you know, on a lot of that. Now, I mean, there's nuance there. There are alternatives that we can look at. We're going to talk about some of them here. Certainly with the Meshtastic device that you were just describing, we'll get into that a bit. But I feel like on the consumer level, we've essentially lost. Like, you are never going to go into Best Buy or, you know, go on to Amazon or whatever. And generally, you're not going to buy something that is somehow respectful to your privacy and that empowers you as an individual. And that's what I mean when I say that to some degree, we've lost the tech war. But that doesn't mean you can't buy things and then, you know, up your knowledge game and figure out how to make them, you know, privacy respecting and how to make them, you know, empower you as an individual. So that, you know, and that's the direction that my show has taken as late. That's the direction that I'm trying to lead everybody towards. And really, Ernie, it sounds like, I mean, we have very similar end goals, because the end goal is getting people together in communities. And you're 1,000% right that communication is absolutely essential, you know, to make those communities thrive, regardless of size. You know, we really have to have that, and we're not going to go back to carrier pigeons, as secure as that may be. So I don't know, you know, I mean, with drones, maybe they could look out for carrier pigeons now. But we're not going to be going back to that, but there are things, you know, that can be done. There are things that can be used. But yeah, I think, you know, finally getting together and building these things. I love what you're talking about with like these easy, or, well, not to say that they're easy, but these easier to build homes, these structures, you know, like dome structures you were talking about. I think that's absolutely a direction, you know, to keep looking at. I mean, some people have different terms for these things. Some people say intentional communities. Some people are into what are called eco villages. All of these things are just fantastic ideas, that have to happen, because as tech has continued to pervade, and even further after 2020, I mean, it seems almost unavoidable. I feel like you basically, like you have to walk away. You have to walk away from, you know, the standard. Well, we don't really have a free market, but the market that exists, you can't count on that, because it's not respectful. It's not respecting you. It's not pro-consumer in any real way, unless you just, you know, want to just have your eyes glaze over while you're watching Netflix or something. Then sure, you know, we live in a world that's perfect for you. You can be a potato all day long. But if you're actually wanting, you know, personal autonomy, and you're actually wanting, you know, privacy, and, you know, to be respected as a person, I think, you know, a lot of what's just on the market today, just it's not there. One of the things, you know, speaking of the internet, or the big bad internet, as I call it, one of the things that I've recommended for many years on Sovereign Tech was, yeah, use a VPN. You know, and I've given talks at all kinds of festivals and, you know, and conferences and events. And it's usually the first thing I even bring up is, yeah, get a VPN, use that. Like, if that, the bare minimum of what you can do to reclaim your privacy to some degree, and this is true for a smartphone as well as a laptop, desktop, computer, whatever, go ahead and get a VPN. Now, I'll admit, over those years, one of the top recommendations that I've made, and I've made a few, but one of the top recommendations I've made as far as VPNs is private internet access. In fact, I think even previously when I've been on your show, I had talked about it in the past. However, in the past few years, that recommendation certainly has changed. I cannot recommend private internet access on its own. And part of that has to do with what you were bringing up, Ernie, you know, and what you had shared with me, about Cape Technologies. So Cape Technologies is a company that was previously called, CrossRider, and they made like, extensions and add-ons for web browsers. They did some other things as well. But this is, you know, extensions and add-ons for web browsers. Think of like ad blockers. Think, I don't know, actually even like Bitcoin wallets or password managers, you know, all of these things or like Ethereum wallets, all of these things have been, you know, these little add-ons that are supposed to make your web browsing experience, or your, you know, your productivity better when you're using the web browser. Or like another one that's really popular is something like Grammarly, which will like scan everything that you're writing or seeing and will tell you if the, like, if the grammar's off or if there's a,
you know, the, you one know, that they always hit you on, oh, I'm sorry, your Flash, you know, thing doesn't work in Adobe, you need to upgrade, and kind of, man, they get you. You know, that was the famous one that they always were using, and they leave some malware on your thing to make money to track of whatever the hell. So to have a company like that buying up VPNs, I'm thinking, and I think they're based out of Israel too. So I'm just not feeling warm and fuzzy about this.
Yeah, no. And so, yeah, I mean, the thing is that most people don't think about it. They think, oh, this is nice. This software is helping with my internet experience or something like that. But even something as simple as Grammarly, I mean, this is where people don't think about it, is that, so Grammarly is just there to like scan everything and give you recommendations on how to make your grammar better, write a better email, things like this. But, you know, no, most people aren't paying attention. It's scanning everything on your screen, every text, you know, like all the text on your screen, it's looking at. It's looking at everything that you're web browsing. And what are they doing with that data? Are they selling that data off? Are they feeding it into an AI that can, you know, become Skynet in the future or something? You know, who knows, right? So, I mean, you'd think it's completely benign, but then even just in its function, it's actually not benign. Whether or not they're selling off that data or not, it's still infringing upon your privacy. And yeah, so these apps that CrossRider had made, and this has been a problem. Google's well aware of it. Apple's well aware of it. Every single tech company is well aware that, especially with web browser extensions and add-ons, it's a wild west. Firefox got to the point where they said, we can't manage this, you know, and guarantee that the user is going to get a great experience with these add-ons. And so they switched over to where, okay, we're just going to use the same Chrome add-ons that Google uses. Now, these are all smart moves because, again, it's just nasty. And there have been millions, at least hundreds of thousands of, and I don't think that's an exaggeration, of add-ons, and there really have been that many, that have been banned over time or removed over time from, say, like the Chrome Web Store or whatever, you know, just so that they can't infect you. And I'm sure CrossRider, or now Cave Technologies, was behind some of those. So because of that, people are very concerned now that they're buying up all of the big VPNs. Now, they bought a private internet access, I think that was back in 2019, and then most recently, though, what's scaring everybody, to the tune of $1 billion, which used to be an impressive number. I guess it's not so much anymore. Now everybody's buying everybody for billions of dollars.
Yeah,
it's all
no,
monopoly
Cape's,
money.
It says here Cape's been on a VPN buying spree since 17.
Yeah. So they started off with CyberGhost, and then they went to like ZenMate, and then they bought Private Internet Access, but they bought ExpressVPN recently. Now, most people, even if they don't have a clue what a VPN is, which VPN just stands for Virtual Private Network, and it essentially, the best description ever, I think, for a VPN is that it's a condom for your internet connection. Okay, like, it's just imagine that.
Not
like,
anymore.
Over,
it's got holes all in the tip. Man.
Well, right. Yeah. Now you're gonna get pregnant anyway. Yeah. So, you know, it's a good idea because what it does is it encrypts all of the data and all of the traffic theoretically that would normally go to your ISP, that would normally go to Comcast or whoever. And again, these can be on smartphones as well. And it would keep that data from getting to Verizon, keep from getting to, you know, AT&T, whoever, theoretically. They're good things. They're important things. And there's other ways that they're used in the enterprise space. But ExpressVPN, everybody knows, because if you watch YouTube for a second, you're probably going to run into an ExpressVPN ad because they sponsor a lot of the very popular YouTubers. So this has people sweating. I mean, because people have been using ExpressVPN for years, and then they find out this company comes in and buys it out. And, you know, some of these companies, like Private Internet Access, now part of the reason I used to recommend them so much was that they would keep zero logs, and they had been tested and verified to keep zero logs, at least as well as anybody can test and verify these things. And the logs are, you know, okay, so the log would be, say, what your ISP, what like Comcast would normally get of everywhere and everything you did and everything you typed on the internet. The idea is that a VPN would be privacy respecting and would keep no logs of that information. ever. Okay. Wouldn't even hold it for like 5 minutes. It just, it's not going to do it.
Pinky swear.
Yeah, pinky swear. Well, yeah, see, you got it, Ernie. That's the thing, is that you're always trusting them. You're always trusting a third party. You can't really know. I mean, there's ways to test if a VPN is actually masking you from who, you know, from who they claim to be protecting you from. And that's easy enough to do. But, you know, can you really know that they're not holding your data, that they're not keeping logs? Can you really be sure of the VPN client that you install that makes it easy on your desktop to connect, you know, to their servers? That's where the issues run, you know, come up. That's where, you know, the challenges are. Even for tech savvy people, that's a challenge, you know, to make happen. So this is really concerning. And not only that, what really doubles down on the concern is they went and bought like major VPN review sites. Even,
right.
You know, so it's like, wait a minute. So they buy the competition and they even buy the person who reviews, you know, everything. I mean, it's a perfect storm of lying to you, you know, or at least its potential is there. So this is really scary. And you know, when you run into things like, recently, you know, so there's a VPN company called QuickFox, and they are their bread and butter is basically, if you are a citizen of China and you go outside of China, but you still want to access things behind the great wall of the internet, you know, that China has up, you would use QuickFox to access those Chinese websites. Very, very popular. Well, just a few days ago, there was a massive data leak of over 1 million users, most of their record, like their passwords, a ton of encrypted information, all on these Chinese users of QuickFox. And nobody knew that they were even collecting that. In fact, a lot of the information, there's no reason for a VPN to collect it unless, you know, it's doing so under the orders of, you know, they, them, those, you know, the state or whoever else. Or they're selling off that information. Either way, you're losing control of your information, which is just, you know, should be anathema for anybody getting, you know, on the internet in any way. So the concern would be that, well, if CAPE owns all these companies and then something similar happened, like with QuickFox, how many millions of people would be screwed and how much data that you thought you had protected and whatever else?
It's a scary recipe. It says here, CAPE purchased a collection of VPN review websites, then right. Changed the rankings and were the best ones. you know, you can't make this stuff up, man. And a lot of people, you got to get. And I remember, I tell you when it was, I got PIA. I started using them. I had something else before, but it was when crypto was at the Consumer Electronics Show in, 17, 14, 13, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago. And I remember because I used to go to the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas for years covering it, because you got to be a journalist or in the industry, that kind of thing. And you have, thousands and thousands of vendors over many freaking venues to look at. And I'm, of course, in the basement of the Venetian looking at the 10x10 of some college kid with the freaking whiz bang, whatever cool thing. You know, I thought that was cool because that's what you see in the tech, you know, two, three years later. And so that was what was more interest to me. The one thing that was interesting is China would have like a freaking Bangkok bazaar, you know, where they had, you know, representatives for every freaking gizmo and doodad that you could possibly want to make whatever. So it was very entertaining. By the time you get to the Panasonic guys and the whatever and the new whatever, you know, I don't care about that. They're just how they're going to use it to screw you. Well, when the crypto guys went and they had their own thing up there, that's when I could see crypto was going to go, because NCR and a lot of the point of sale cash register people were making devices that I knew that even a mom and pa within 5 to 8 years, even the smallest little bitty pizza family restaurant's got to get a new tablet or something to take payment for or whatever. And all of these were going to be crypto friendly. Well, this is coming up to where we get this. Yeah, we'll talk about this. The central bank digital currency, GoldmanSachs.gov coin, freaking UBI, universal basic script, purple digital money, whatever the hell's coming, okay? So I just, they're going, I go, no, I guarantee they love them some Bitcoin. It's going to be GoldmanSachs.gov coin. That's what's coming. So that's a whole nother story. But at that time, it was, I met the PIA guys because they were there promoting, and it was Paul Pway from Airbits, now Edge, that goes, yeah, Ernie, man, you got to get, these are the guys. I know, you know, Pace, you know, these are the guys. All right. Well, maybe they were then.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when they are then, when you get, you know, Tom's toothpaste from Maine, it's organic, it's not fluoridated, it's not, you know, it's super great and wonderful toothpaste of We Don't Try to Kill You. Well, then what happens? You know, Procter & Gamble or Colgate or whatever buys them up because they got a name. This is what happens. It's called consolidation. And I just did a show a couple of days ago. James Corbett and I do a weekly show. And I go, in 2020, when 2020 started, even before the COVID thing, I go, 2020 it. And he goes, what? I go, it. And he goes, yep. 2020, here it comes. So we could feel it coming. We already made plans to do the Liberty Love Bus Liberty Tour thing and all that.
Yep.
Then 21 was solutions. So we've been working on solutions. What's 22? And he goes, consolidation. It's going to be the consolidation of the evil forces of they're going to come out of the woodwork and buy up everything and do, and we got you. And consolidation, you know, of the movement, or at least a general public opinion of, we got to do something else. Mesh networks. But what happens? I remember a documentary that got another, it was like, 5 years ago or something, and it got a revitalization of, ooh, watch this. And it was called, Red Dragon or something. I can't remember. It was pushed by Alex Jones back in the day. Mm-hmm. And what it was all of a sudden, what's going on now? Boom, the zombie apocalypse happened. All electronics went down. Everybody's surveilling everything, whatever. And they go, how did it happen? And a guy takes a phone and busts it open, takes the back off and looks, and all the chips said made in China. He goes, that's how. So when we get this mesh-tastic, you know, coming from China, how secure are we going to, you know, we're going to feel? But the thing is, right, is that that's not, you know, what I'm really concerned about. What I'm concerned about is the ability to communicate in a small community, to where you have in a neighborhood, like my brother-in-law lives in this nice neighborhood here, and he's all politically active. It's McAuliffe versus whatever, the governor race that's going on here. He's working the election. He's, you know, and of course, you guys still voting? I mean, you know, whatever. So anyway, so they have, you know, this, and the Democrat incumbent just hired Clinton lawyers, you know, in the election this next week, and there's going to be fraud, I guarantee it, and we're going to have the lawyers and whatever the hell, man. It's already, it hadn't even started yet, and it's started. So this is, this community, as they're doing and walking around, they started to find out who the, you know, the liberals are and who the conservatives are, and they're starting who's still your friend and not your friends, and how you communicate. And of course, you know, they're saving the planet, and you know, masters of the universe are against us for yada, yada, yada. Facebook, you know, or they'll start using, ooh, private, it's on Signal. Well, that'll do it. You know, or Telegram. All these are freaking proton mail, all compromised from the beginning. I always went in knowing that they would, if they weren't, they're going to be anyway. So if you have the mesh network, a mesh-tastic or something, you are being able to communicate. Well, how private would it be? You know, I don't know. You know, is it, give the codes of the Biden administration, and they just any and everything that comes on there. It's when people get in trouble is when they think they're private. And then they start, you know, getting all, you know, here come the misogynist and racist jokes of whatever. And then you get canceled for the rest of your life because you forwarded the meme or something, right? So
right.
I am not that concerned when we get to a closed private community. And it doesn't even need to be, and that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about too. Does it have to be a compound, adjacent properties? Could it be a community out, a small town that you got, you know, your good fences make good neighbors, and, you know, my neighbor happens to be somebody I don't agree with, but next to him is, you know, my best friend of whatever. I mean, you know, so we can talk about the communities. But when you have a mesh network and ones that have some range like this, you're jumping over your, you know, status puke neighbor and to the other guy you want to talk to, and not going straight to the man. Will they be able to hack those chips? Are they able to glean off of the information? Are they going to, maybe, maybe not. I'm not really that concerned. It's not, if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. I mean, you know, I've been out in the open on this stuff, but I definitely want to have the ability, just like when we go into these different festivals, you know, to not, the man not know every, I mean, at least we got our own mesh network. So that's the first question. This is our motivation for doing this. So I want to ask, if we have something like this Meshtastic, which is Arduino, you know, slept with a Raspberry Pi. I mean, it looks like whatever, and it's got antennas. I mean, you know, whatever. It's gobbledygook stuff. And
that's single board with a USB. Yeah, exactly.
So, and you can USB charge it. So you put a little solar panel on it, put it on top of a tree, you're done. You know, I'm like, ooh, we've been thinking about, could we do pirate radio? We've been doing that. And we have the IPFS, you know, pirate box, you know, network that we're doing. And I mean, so this is right in line with that. So if I have this and we're communicating in a community of here comes, you know, the galloping hordes of whatever, and we need to something, you know, the raccoons are on rampage, going to eat all our food or whatever, you know, and you communicate this, what's the possibility of it going to the internet? How would it, what would they have to do? Is there some satellite that would be able to monitor this? I mean, what is the capability of something like this, of things that we, you know, don't understand or don't know how monitored we would be?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the range, of course, is a question, and that's what we're going to test. And I appreciate you providing us with the opportunity to test it. You know, range is a big question. But the big thing that...
My phone goes to freaking space. I got GPS. Right. That's a radio. I'm going to space. I'm connected to a satellite right freaking not later. And right over there, last night, my brother and I are talking and everything about, you know, Alexa and all this stuff. Yeah, there it turns on. You know, he goes, Alexa, you know, who's your master? I mean, you know, it's just, as we're sitting here talking and saving the planet and the universe from the galloping hordes or whatever, you're freaking listening. So I'm in Derek Slopey's basement. I got to tell you this story. We're in his basement planning to overthrow the bad guys and saving the universe. And then all of a sudden, something reminds him he needs to get to. He goes, Alexa, get me the, put on my shopping list. What? I go, are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Derek, goes, come on.
He goes, you got your phone on you? And I go, yeah, okay, good point. You know, I think he's taking it out now. I think it kind of, you know, creeped him out a little bit too much. But you know, he makes a good point. Everybody bitches about this stuff, and they walk around with a phone on them.
Oh, yeah.
So this mesh network, this Meshtastic, you know, just by looking at it and the chips on there and the distance of whatever, and this little radio right here, this cell phone, connects GPS to space right now. They know where I'm at. They know where I'm going. They know freaking everything. And what you think you know they got, you know, DARPA's got a little chip in the whatever trusted program module of, you know, you're screwed. So how, going in right now before we get any further on this mesh thing, how much reliance should we have on a private mesh that we set up and you're going to play with? And how would you even know?
Oop, I think you just cut out, Ernie.
Okay, well, I think you just came back. I'm going to turn off my video. Okay, go ahead.
Let me see if that helps.
Yeah, I turned off my video. All right, I'm sitting here slinging around my phone. That's probably what it was. You still there, Brian?
Yep. Okay. Looks like you're coming back. I just cut my video. See if
I cut my video, so we're good. But go ahead and, you know, explain that part to me. You know that. Yeah, no, the man doesn't want us to. We get to the good. They're not wanting us to talk about that. Okay. All right. We're back to recording. The man doesn't want us, you know, getting into this detail. All right. The detail, the question before, you know, everything went down. Is, and I got full bars. I don't know what the heck's going on. They don't want us talking about this. The Meshtastic, I guess when I say that word, the capability even of a phone that connects me to space and they get my geopositional listen to, and Alexa's over there recording everything anyway, I get a Meshtastic device here to do this mesh networking, and it's impressive some of the distances that it can do, mesh a neighborhood. And I'm going, yeah, because that's what they're doing. Where this is could easily be the Chinese answer to Amazon Sidewalk. I just saw an article where Verizon, their 5G thing, I got, you know, a AT&T, two SIM cards that go into a Netgear on the bus. I have a hotspot, 5G super liars of Verizon. I got a Nomad internet that uses T-Mobile. I got a Raspberry Pi that manages Wi-Fis, you know, when you come in contact mm-hmm. with them. And then, of course, we have three different phones that we use. So I got like 7-8 different ways to get on the internet, and all of them suck, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm like, between them, I can usually get something decent, but obviously not. And I'm looking for Starlink. I'm going, woohoo! I want to see how far up Uncle Sam's butt, you know, Elon is. So we'll see about that. But the look at these mesh-tastic devices. And if I got a phone that's going to space right now and everything's surveilling me, Verizon just worked a deal with Amazon to tap in to their Sidewalk project, which is your home device and your Echoes and all this other stuff, are and your Alexas and so on, are providing internet access for somebody walking in front of your house on the sidewalk.
Right.
So I'm going, whoa. So they are locking into that with your cell structure to give you 5G and everything. And in Phoenix, you can see about every block, they got these 5G transmitters everywhere to saturate the crap out of something. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm not feeling super warm and fuzzy when the Chinese come in with a mesh network with a whole bunch of little black squares on this thing, and God knows what's in there. What kind of threat are we looking at, Brian?
Sure. One thing, we're probably never going to get past, you know, seeing made in China on any kind of, you know, circuit board or processor. So there's that part. But I think there's ways around that. Now, I mean, an important thing to keep in mind, two things. One is that I do think that communications that exist outside of the man's purview are possible, and we know this because the FBI and other alphabet soup organizations will go and shut down companies that make them. Think like Phantom Phone and some others. The other part, so keep that in mind, that A, it's possible because it does make them sweat, clearly. The other part that's important is you mentioned Sidewalk. Now, when Amazon was testing Sidewalk, all they needed to cover the entire city for the entire city of Los Angeles to be able to communicate their devices, all they needed was 300 devices for the entire city of LA. That's a massive area to cover with only 300 little devices. So range is possible, and this is possible. You know, the most important thing is that, you know, regardless of where these devices are made, all of that, most important thing is that it doesn't connect to the big bad internet. It doesn't connect to what everyone else is connected to. That's key. Using, you know, as far as like the way, like the LoRa transmission that it does, which just means that it's like low powered, which is great. You want that. Especially if you're, you know, building your own little community or something like that. You know, if you're encrypting on your device, you know, what gets sent between the two devices, that's really what matters. You know, they could see from space, you know, like you were talking about, they could see perhaps that, okay, two devices are communicating, or there's a way to register that the two devices are communicating. But as long as those two devices aren't connected to the big internet, and so, you know, and there isn't some, you know, agent provocateur there, or some kind of insider to actually, you know, be on location. Right. If they have to, you know, then, I mean, if somebody's there to do like a, you know, a local code injection of some kind, yeah, there's nothing we can do about that, you know, and that's probably going to beat most encryption. And of course, the other part, you know, what beats most encryption? A simple camera, you know? And so if there's a camera around and they have access to whatever that camera sees, I mean, you're screwed anyway, right? No matter how great of encryption you have. But if you do keep these devices on their own network, and you make it, you know, you code it right in that they're not reaching out in any other way. And you're using, you know, your own, well, I mean, and you can use whatever operating system. I mean, there's plenty of good options out there. But I think it is possible to largely harden a network of devices like this to where, you know, it would be very difficult for them to be able, you know, for they, them, those to see what exactly is being shared.
You mentioned, you said encryption, and mm-hmm. I don't even really count on encryption anymore. I mean, when they get their quantum AI of I pushed a button, I know everything. Oh, well, we'll do our quantum version. I go, right after they took your wallet. I mean, you know, it's really going to come down to communities and them. I mean, who the hell do you really want to be talking to about real life issues of, you know, who's going to freaking let the dog out and go harvest the potatoes? I mean, you know, it's going to be a local mesh thing. And that's what I'm excited about. Something like this is that we have the ability to have the convenience of modern day life, to be able to send files, to be able to post pictures or be able to whatever. And, you know, that's where the IPFS comes in. You know, I could be private with my family and just post up whatever, and we have the hashes to it and none their business. And then, you know, just regular mesh networking of text messages of time to come to dinner. I mean, you know, whatever, something that you can be private. So, you know, something like this, you're thinking there's potential. I mean, it's worth testing out and we can see what's up, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's step one. I mean, there are technologies that exist. They're not like consumer ready. I don't know if the consumers are ever going to have access to them. They're not like secret either, but there are technologies that exist that I think would give us like the type of communication that, you know, you and I have been dreaming about for years. You know, for example, like, so this uses the Meshtastic, you know, again, uses LoRa radios. I mean, it has Bluetooth. It has Wi-Fi. I mean, it has options on it.
And LoRa stands for low power radio, right?
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. Which is, again, a great thing to have.
Well, they don't mean low distance. They mean it requires a teeny weeny baby battery or something.
Yeah, it just doesn't. Right, exactly. It just doesn't need a big battery to power it for a good long while.
And it can be charged through the USB with a solar panel.
Right.
So you put this thing on top of some trees or houses or up in a, you know, watertight box of, I'm thinking you're going to have some fun with these.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a couple different ways we'll test them, because we'll test them as, you know, how would they work as what I would call a choke point, as in like we all access the device that has that, or then how would it work if we're just directly connecting device to device, which might be the way to go. But, you know, step two, step three of where we could take this, you know, I think you really got to get people used to communicating this way, you know, used to connecting and going through the process. So even if this isn't like the perfect getaway, you know, from the purview of the NSA and whoever else, it's worthwhile to use to get people used to, again, to connecting this way, to communicating this way, and to just like, you know, it's almost like a dress rehearsal for, you know, having your own network. Right. And I think that's very important in itself. And especially when the price is only like is less than $30, that's phenomenal.
Right.
But then when we get, you know, in the future, I mean, hopefully we can get access to things like what's called Li-Fi, which is laser internet, where and this is really the dream, where you are literally just sending, you know, laser beams between two devices that will send all of the data that you need to send between the two devices. Now, this has already been tested. It's not something that's like only for the military. There are independent communities that have tested this thing out. There's even been operating systems that have been developed to make use of it. You know, all this stuff costs money to do, and I'm sure they haven't had a whole lot of funding, but that's a direction more going in the future, because when you do that, see, then you're not just like spraying and praying data. Okay. You're not just like, you know, just splooging it all out everywhere, like having a device on top of a tree. Then you're going device to device. It's a quick, you know, just imagine a blaster bolt or a phaser shot, you know, from Star Trek or something. And it's just a quick shot from device to device. And then there's nothing for them to pick up because the transmission's done. It's not hanging, you know, in the air. I mean, it's only in one spot, so they can't even really monitor it. And it's, again, at the speed of a laser. So literally the speed of light. And, you know, that's the dream, to get to that. And then we could get into, I mean, the Chinese government has already tested this, and, you know, the American government sweats about it, that, you know, where they've sent what they basically quantum encrypted laser communication. And hey, if we could all get that, great. Again, I'm talking, you know, that's the dream. That's where we get to maybe next. But again, all these things are possible. But right now, what's accessible is possible, and then there's accessible. What's accessible is something, you know, like what we're going to be testing here, you know, with the Meshtastic. So, yeah, mesh networking, I mean, this is key. And again, I think even just getting people ready to you know, getting used to communicating this way and not relying so much, perhaps, on their smartphone or in the way that they normally use their smartphone is incredibly beneficial. And then we can start working on, once that's built up, then we can start using that to communicate. How do we get to level two? You know, and then how do we get to level three?
I want to get to level, I can do it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, this is, I'm glad you're willing to take this on. And the VPN thing is, you know, duh, but it's just an example of how far and how willing they are to buy up, consolidate, do in any and everything to get your ones and zeros. And I'm to the point, I don't care, man. You know, they're the architect in the matrix. They can't freaking understand it anyway. When you and I talk about, you know, voluntarism and we're going to this and that and we'll just be left alone and be productive now. No, you won't. You need us to rule you and tell you you'll starve or something. I mean, I don't even know what their thought process is and I don't care. I'm looking at a pirate's life for me. And when you go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com, yeah, go ahead and pull that up and you'll see what I mean. You go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com. On the top of the banner, you have these categories. Communication is number one for this kind of stuff. And hell yeah. You know, matter of fact, I should put this over to there right now. It's at the top of Freedom's Phoenix. I'll get to it a little later and put this as one of the top stories in that category. Because this is exactly what we're talking about and why I have Brian on and I like to talk to Dr. Sovereign. And the but there's also food and medicine and energy. And I just, you know, today I order over 30 kilowatts of lithium iron phosphate batteries. And I'm doing it now because by the time I get back to Arizona, I want them waiting on me and it's going to take 6 to 10 weeks to get them, you know? So I'm like, I'm definitely not going to be without power. Then, you know, of all the things on there, you know, the health and the food and, you know, our home in Phoenix, our aquaponics and chickens and turkeys and goats. And I mean, I get it. I've checked off most of the boxes, but there's two things. One, we still got to finish the pirate box and IPFS and make sure you can put content providers like yourself can put up ones and zeros and them not be censored, deleted, and be accessible to everyone. So that's one thing. The other thing is day-to-day in mesh network, they can't stop the signal that you can communicate. And they're going to have like radio jammers or something. Man, they got to bring in the military trucks kind of, not that they wouldn't. But, you know, I'm just, you know, out in the middle of nothing. And, man, you guys got enough problems to worry about in the urban areas. You know, peace be upon thee, but I'm not in your crap. I'm over here. But we want to be able to communicate. Well, the I can see, and my prediction is this, Brian, that after this winter and people start getting cold and they have energy outages and they're, you know, all the supply chain gets to whatever and the shelves go bare again. And, you know, my God, this is the 14th time I don't have toilet paper. So when they get to that, at some point, they're going to start going, you know, that retirement house I wanted to build in the cabin out on the lake or whatever, why am I waiting? Why don't I just do it now? You know, what's the point here? You know, so my kids can go to a good school, if you could find one, you know, we're done. We're going to go learn to be human beings first. And I think there's going to be like grapes of wrath and freaking 15 billion Model Ts and Model As going across the country of people moving from Dust Bowl to whatever. This is going to be not to any particular state. You know, of course, they're all going to leave New York and California, but, you know, and there'd be a big increase in Texas and Arizona kind of populations and New Hampshire and that kind of stuff. But I think it's going to be more a flight from urban areas to rural. And the rural areas suck with communication. That is one of the big, but a lot of times, and they could even just turn you off or we're not giving you service or screw you. And even, you know, go to Starlink and say, yeah, you thought you could have the rule. Yeah, well, you're turning off this valley. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So if you have, you know, if Brian Sovereign and friends can come up with a practical use of this hardware and making a community like when we do Jackalope, and all of a sudden everybody in the valley are able to communicate in real time with each other. Boom. We're freaking, that's a big giant chunk of one humongous less thing I got to do. So
yeah,
this is one of the things that you guys are working on. What are some of the things when you're talking with your group? Because how I found you, there's a Telegram group that you really don't have anything to do with. You know, it's like Sovereign Tech Fans or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going, cool. You know, that's, you know, because this stuff is, you know, interesting. That's how I, you know, got hold of through that. Mm-hmm. And I'm wanting to make sure that I understand, is there some other tech that you guys are focusing on or working on that we don't know about and should?
Yeah, sure. So something that we're looking pretty deeply at right now are Linux-based phones, like the Pine phone, to where, because...
Oh, I've been promised that for alternatives a decade.
Exactly. I know what you mean, Ernie. So fortunately, they really are becoming a reality. And not only that, the key part is they're affordable. You know, they're even like below the cost of the average, you know, Android phone, which that's a pretty new development in the past year or so. So that's one of the big areas to look at, is getting out of the duopoly of smartphones, you know, of Android and iOS, because neither of those are, again, are respecting your privacy and are really giving you control. So like you were talking about your GPS earlier, how that's always communicating, you know, we can't even trust that when we tell, you know, on our Android device, that when we say, you know, turn off GPS, that GPS is really off, because we know that Google can remotely turn it back on, or whoever, whatever powerful party, you know, can turn it back on. So we need devices with hardware switches. And, you know, those are things that we're looking into. The Linux phone is a big part of that. And, you know, the other part really, I think, comes down to, and this has been really hopeful as well. There are now laptops out there where you can actually, you can repair them yourself, you know, where there is a real right to repair movement going on in the world, which is very exciting to finally see that people care that much. You know, when I spend $1,000 on something or whatever, you know, I want this thing to, I want to be able to upgrade it. I want to be able to repair it. I want control of the hardware. And that's happening. And we're getting the open source hardware, not just the open source software, but the open source hardware to allow for that as well. So, you know, there are great things happening right now. You have to look for them. Some of them are affordable. Some of them are not. But, you know, it's good to see that there are people that actually care, you know, as to where I think in, you know, even just a couple of years ago or 3 years ago, a lot of this stuff was just pie in the sky dreams, where it's not anymore. Now people know, you know, we have to have this.
Yeah. See, I just want the audience to know, man, I'm exploiting the crap out of Brian and friends, because for $150, I can send 5 of these units for him to set up and I'm done. Ha, 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 ha. For you guys, you know? So,
right.
But it's really a demonstration for the whole community.
Yes.
Of, you know, we've been talking about this forever. And I remember Derek Slopey saying one time, he goes, it's going to have to be, you want private communication. It's going to have to be device to device. It's going to have to be something like,
yes,
an Arduino that doesn't even have the memory capacity to download malware. I mean, it's not,
right.
It's got to be something real butt simple kind of. And then when I saw this, I go, man, this kind of pretty much described what Derek was looking for, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then just by chance, you know, I mean, at the same time I'm seeing this, you know, Brian confirmed with Donna, he could come on today. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, guess what we're talking about, you know? So this is, I just want the community to know, this is how this stuff happens. When Brian has the capability and the community there in New Hampshire, there's a lot of tech guys there that, you know, are thinking along the same lines. We get this going, I'll pimp the living crap out of it. And
yeah,
we'll have, you know, because there's a need for it. You know, we need this. This is something,
right,
that's going to be, it's nonviolent. There's no taking over the radio station. I mean, be the radio station. I mean, crap. You know, there's no taking over the TV station and we're going to broadcast V for Vendetta and standing there with a,
yeah,
bomb or something. You know, there's no need for that. And it's just to get away. And technology is such, and that's what Pirates Without Borders is all about. And then the letters of Captain Mark is, you know, like why we're doing it and the standard by which we put the different things. Like the second letter is on crypto. It's on pirate money. Third letter is hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. It's communication. And the first letter is why I raised my black banner. And the second one was economics and communicating prices and, you know, with crypto and money and pirate money. And I'm not hauling gold to the moon and I need to have my crypto, and X marks the spot on some beach somewhere maybe. But, you know, then we have pirate communications, which is, and then we have, you know, a bunch of other stuff, you know, in healthcare and other things, immigration, a lot of other issues. But the top three is my declaration of, I just declared my independence and I didn't need a government form. I got, you know, a way to communicate with you in bartering and prices and buying stuff and silk roading. And that's one thing you're talking about. We have blackmarketfridays.com. You go to blackmarketfridays, plural.com, and we're using IPFS pages. And Corbett and I are really pushing this thing. Mike Swatek set this up to where in one day last year we did Black Market Friday, it was 200 vendors signed up. So we got, you know, people are adding on to this, is creating their own marketplace. But when you're starting to do this and communicating, hey, I got this really cool gun or really cool communication mesh network or something, ooh, demand don't like that. Well, how are they going to get you? They're going to get you by downloading your communication. You said this and you didn't like the IRS and blah, 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 blah. And mesh network, especially when you're dealing it with a community. And this looks like has enough distance that you can communicate farm to farm to farm to farm to farm. And if you, if you need to, you put a solar panel on it on top of a pine tree and you're freaking done. So I see the solutions to this is not take a gun and run to Washington and try to be the ones in charge of the monuments and the marble. Who gives a crap? You know, I go, yeah, let them be in charge. I don't care. Yay, you got a swamp to govern over. I don't care. But I need to be able to have these modern day conveniences and the ability to live the modern life that to which I wish to become accustomed to. And I get my Jarvis instead of an Alexa. You know, I don't mind having AI, but it better be freaking mine. You know, I'm not going to be a subject to it or whoever owns it. So this is where you come in. And I'm wondering what your philosophy is in the future and what you're using tech and your abilities to prepare for.
Sure. Well, I think you hit it a lot of it. I mean, the beauty of the digital realm is that you know, it's not a realm of scarcity. And in that, you can build in parallel. Like you don't have, like you were saying, you don't have to take over the local TV station. You don't have to take over the radio. You don't have to take over whatever. It's not necessary. You just build the parallel versions of that, you know, that speak the truth, you know, and speak truth to power and whatever else. And, you know, will empower you to live your life the way that you want to live it. Let the legacy system eat itself. It's going to just let it. It'll fall apart on its own. So just have everything else. You don't have to do anything about that. Just build your system. And, you know, I mean, all of this can take a lot of different shapes, but having our own network is incredibly key. I've been pushing for a long time to use the Briar app. If you do have an Android smartphone, you know, being able to communicate without, you know, using any of the telcos or without, you know, connecting to the internet via, you know, an ISP or anything like that. Having real control, you know, when you buy a device, I mean, you should have control over it. And, you know, having real control, the ability to just use that and communicate is a powerful thing. So if no one's looked into the Briar app, I definitely recommend, you know, doing so. But yeah, keep, you know, solar power. I mean, you listed off so much of what people can learn about right now, get on board with, start building it. And again, you exist in parallel. You don't even have to engage the legacy system, you know, and that's really the goal that I am looking at is how is it possible to do that? You know, I know a lot of people are getting into van life. A lot of people are getting into, you know, just constantly like being on the road and, you know, living nomadic remotely and everything. Those are totally viable today. And a lot of that comes from battery technology, like you were talking about, and that's getting better and better every day. I mean, there's supply chain issues now, certainly around batteries, but, you know, plan things right, and it may not be a problem for you. Get in on it now. That's one of like the really low key things that nobody really talks about. That's very exciting in tech, is just how good batteries are getting, and how accessible they are, and how good.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing what you can get these days. I mean, the generators you can buy for, you know, even less than $100 are remarkable what you can do with them. I mean, you know, but then get into higher prices and it's amazing.
Well, so, you know, Colin that has the big white bus, you know, that was that.
Yep.
Yeah. For, yeah. We met him. Well, we've known him for a long time. He's at J Noons and so on, but he was at the Midfest, and then he was at Jackalope, and we see him at, we went to his father's home in Kansas City, and he did some battery compartment electrical upgrades on a lot of stuff that we were doing.
Yeah.
And I showed him the battery system that I'm buying from, you know, my home we're building. And I go, look, you know, it's called, Life Power, which used to be Gill, which is, it's a rack of six of these. And, you know, like it's about the size of a dishwasher, and it has 30 kilobytes. I mean, I'm sure kilowatts. So you get 30 kilowatts and you're done, you know? And each one of those are only $1,500 to get 5.8 kilowatts, something like that. Well, hell, he has over 1,000 pounds of lead acid batteries on that bus to give him less than that, you know? And I'm going, get rid of that lead acid. Get one of these. Are you freaking kidding me? Okay.
Yeah.
So he's all excited. He's in on the buy of that. This changes everything. These batteries, they're like that. We have four Battleborns, 400 amp hours, and they've got a 5-10 year warranty, which I think we're going to have to use on one of them. Mm-hmm. And they have their own protections, and they're all great and wonderful warranties and so on. But that was, when I first got it, it was like $1,200 over a year ago. And now, you know, they're down to like $900, and you can get, you know, clones of them down to $350. You know,
exactly.
And it's just amazing what the capacity is for you to give the middle finger to the man, while the solar panels have gotten dirt cheap. They're 3-4 times the power density now. You have, I mean, and I'm thinking, I'm going, what if China mass producing this stuff and dumping them here in America and cheap, and man, come get our batteries so that we can bone the energy industry, you know, from behind. And I'm going, well, cool. Maybe I can help. But, you know, this is, you know, you want to take out the energy industry.
Yeah.
You don't need them. And what are they going to do? They're going to have shortages on natural gas. They're going to have shortages. You know, they shut down pipelines and this and that and everything. And then people are going to be making just these kinds of decisions for the philosophy of decentralization. They're going to come to it just out of survival and I don't want to die mode, you know, and without even being philosophical about it. But when it gets to that, all the things like even like heirloom seeds that we bought years ago, you know, I bought all the copper from my home a year ago, July, because I knew it was going to happen. So I, you know, it's just, it's our community is so much further ahead. And when we put as an emphasis on what's more important to us, which is just being and breathing free, raising our children, teaching them, co-opting homeschool, the build a dome school, hired one of the moms to teach the 14 kids the blah, 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 blah. We're going to be so much happier, so much better off, so much healthier, live longer, being, have the satisfaction of producing and building stuff, having happier, healthier animals, you know, living a better diet and a lot more secure in just day to day. We're not going to die, and we need to communicate. So my big thing now, if you'll focus, you know, on this and some other communication, the IPFS thing we're doing.
Yep.
Now my focus when we get back to Arizona is going to be the development of the materials to quickly, rapidly, cheaply, inexpensively, quality, insulated, freaking awesome, kick-ass shelter home building. That's right. Where I'm focusing now. And when Ernie Button gets pushed on something, guess what happens?
It happens.
It freaking happens. Gosh darn right. it. Everybody get ready. You know, so now you need to think about, you know, the social aspect of it. I had Stefan Verstappen on. Everybody was encouraging me to talk to him. And mm-hmm. the same questions. What do I got to do? What can I do? Which conflict resolution? Well, you know, everybody's got a plan for me. And I'm just like, no, I don't want you to have, I mean, that was the promise of the Declaration and, you know, the purpose of government, defense of individual rights. You know, if it doesn't do that, it's time to alter, abolish, it's your right, your duty. So I'm going, okay, well, I want to just be left alone, be free, and I'll go do it myself. You know, am I allowed? That's my plan. I want to have a plan. My plan is I get to have my plan. What about you? Well, you got to have the plan of the collective of some other plan. I'm like, no, it's not a plan. So what's your plan, Brian? What do you think's going to happen as the freer state of New Hampshire evolves and develops?
Well, I'll tell you, I might end up in an RV or van myself, you know, just to be more mobile, yeah. Because I'm with you in that, you know, really wanting to just have that freedom, just have it now, just live it now. Don't ask for permission, you know, and just do it. Communications are a big deal to me. That's something that I'll be continuing to work on, as far as, you know, and how tech in general, you know, can really, yeah, give us a lifestyle that, you know, where we're not going necessarily back to, you know, hunting and gathering, you know, we don't have to go that far back without all of this. My plan is to keep doing that, get the technology, make people aware of the technologies. I mean, you know, it seems like every time society is going through some kind of dramatic shift, and we've certainly been going through one, you always get a back to the land movement that comes back. I mean, I think we're probably on the fifth, sixth, seventh one in the United States alone right now. But the difference today is that we don't have to rely on Mother Earth News to transmit information. We don't have to rely on the backwoodsman, right? We don't have to rely on, or, you know, the magazines. We don't have to rely on periodicals that take a month to come out. Now we have, like what you're doing, you know, now we have podcasts. Now we have, you know, all these varying technologies that can, you know, even show people, you know, this is one of the big things for me is just like when you have that inner peace, like you're talking about Ernie having, cause you know, we're just living on, you know, over here. I think that excites people when they see it. I mean, it might terrify them too, and they want to do something bad, but hopefully it just excites them and they want a piece of that too. And, you know, now we can tell people about it. Now they can hear about it. Now they can know that it exists. And that's where it's very different. And so, for me, everything that I can possibly do to live as, you know, rebellious and freely as possible, you know, that's what I'm doing.
Well, that's the tech, you know, what happened is, when I first started doing Freedom's Phoenix back in 2005, God, it's been 16 years. Okay.
Unbelievable.
So it's like 500,000 stories up there. I mean, it's amazing. Well, what I would do every Saturday when I would, you know, before I had staff putting everything up all the time and stuff like that and had overwhelming number of, oh my God. But, you know, every Saturday I'd get up, I'd go to the computer and I'd do what I wanted to do. I would ask, you know, a few questions. What's the latest development in propulsion? Now, this would be like for space travel and stuff, or, you know, cars or whatever. I go propulsion, communication, energy. You know, and I start off with those three, and all of a sudden, boom, there'd be a dozen stories that would come up for that week that would be about whatever. Well, then it got to the point, you know, people really like the tech stuff, you know, like what you do. You know, sovereign tech is, oh, hell yeah, we're going to listen to Brian. So, which, by the way, give out your web page, or your YouTube channels or BitChutes or whatever, do that now, will you please?
Yeah. Anything, if you want to find everything I do, all you got to do is go to sovereigntech.com, S-O-V, V as in Victor, tech.com, so sovereign, T-E-C-H, .com, and that's where you can find it all, and there's, I haven't been doing it since 2005, but I do have 10 years under my belt.
Yeah, so. No. You've been doing it long enough, and it's not like I know more than you. I just know a lot of the stuff that I put up there is Brian said anyway. So, you know, this is so what I did is I created a category called Top Tech News. If you go on freemansphoenix.com on the left side, you'll scroll down a little bit, and you'll see, like, some little tech stories, and it says top tech news, and you can click on that hyperlink if you know to, and you see all the tech, which would be, you know, energy and different materials and communication, you know, just different stuff. Well, if you go to the piratewithoutborders.com, that red rectangle on the left side, then it takes you over to Pirates, and we took all of that that interfaces the dashboard on Freedom's Phoenix interfaces with PiratesWithoutBorders.com. So I took all those and separated them into a category. So when you look at the top of Pirates Without Borders and you hit communication or energy, like if you're on the page there, hit energy, then scroll down and you'll see all of this battery tech, you know, all of the new blah, 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 blah. Okay. And, you know, the you know, molten salt reactors, thorium, this, that, I mean, whatever the hell, you know, in energy tech, but generally, only if it's a small reactor and could be to a community or something. I'm not, you know, there's not a whole bunch of stuff up there on like transportation. It's personal, electric drone flying. I get my own bite me stuff, you know, flying right. car kind of crap. So I'm always looking more towards how it empowers the individual or the yeah. family or a household. It's going down to where you are able to get off of their grid. So our shirts, you've probably seen our pirate shirts we have. One of them is with our pirate ship there. At the top left, you see it says take virtual tour. You should click that and just watch it in the background. You'll see our pirate ship. You know, a lot of people don't see that. You do that and you go, damn. Well, our shirt says above the grid. We're not even off the grid. We're above it. There's no off or grid. I mean, we're above the grid. We don't care. You know, we got a pirate ship. So it's an attitude. And this is what we're trying to promote, and this ability to do the mesh networking, everybody's been screaming about, and I'm sure you've been talking about working on whatever anyway. That's why I want to make sure you saw it and get you guys in on this, because I see communication is kind of being solved. You know, it's well on its way. I mean, I want to keep, you know, time and pressure. I mean, you know, keep my finger on it, you know, keep it going. But we're having a lot of advances in that. And at least a big advance is people see that we need to advance in it. That's a big thing. And then the other thing is dwelling. It's where you live, how you live. I feel a lot of freedom and comfort in the bus. I like being able to go wherever. I like being able to, you know, go to sleep and it's kind of cool and I got to put a hoodie on. I wake up in the morning, it's got warm on my face. And but you got to travel. You know, to do that, you stay in Phoenix, man. That's awesome. You know, getting towards this time of the year, but you know, it's 120. That sucks. You know, then, you know, I'm up in New Hampshire, man. This is awesome. Then it gets minus 20 and that sucks, you know? So being mobile doesn't suck. But if I got a good dwelling that, you know, is well planned out and insulated and low power and the tech, blah, 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 you know, that's pretty cool. You know, Donna likes being in the desert. She wants to stay in the desert. I like the desert because it doesn't have bugs. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of advantages, but you need the tech. So the shelter thing and the building, as we develop that and doing it, Mike Swatek, that does the silver guy, the pirate guy, and he does a lot of IPFS stuff. We helped map out and do his foundation and getting ready. He's building a big aircrete dome right now on his property. And this is for his sister to retire in. She's like, yeah, well, I want to go. I got land. Do it. We'll do that. Done. And he has a guy that did Dome Gaia out of Hawaii that we met at MidFest at his event there in Oklahoma that did it. He built him. He goes, yeah. So he's staying there helping him build it. You know, so we're going by. We'll learn a bunch from that. And they got the machines going. And I mean, this is happening right, not later. Plus, we have the geodesic dome machine, you know, so we're incorporating that in. And we have the engineering that's being done. And we found an engineering firm that will certify these if anybody gives a crap about getting a permit. And they're certified in 50 states and 37 countries. So, you know, we pay a one-time, like, $7,000 fee, and then it's kind of a stamp fee for anybody else, blah, 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 blah. So I'm dead freaking serious about this, Brian. And what do we need? We need to have the communication thing, because then if you don't, you're isolated and they can turn you off.
Right. Yeah, no, you're totally right. And that's something we're definitely going to be working on. I know we'll be reporting back. I do just want, you know, I mean, kind of thinking into the future and after, you know, looking at your pirate ship virtual tour, you know, this is the thing that's always underlying for all of these kinds of discussions for me. You know, when we talk about battery technology, when we talk about communications, when we talk about, you know, all kinds of things, to be able to say, to live outside of the system on Earth. I always feel like all of this is just training us for what it's going to, what we'll need to do to live in space. You know, when we actually can get to the stars, when we can actually go to other planets and so on, like these are the inroads, the first steps, the baby steps of what it's going to be like living there. And that's the part that always excites me too. Getting all these processes efficient, getting all these technologies worked out to where they're resilient is so key, not just here, you know, to withstand oppression, but also to be able to, you know, have us ready for, you know, in the future when, yeah, I think we are going to get to the stars.
It's going to be social. Everything's going to be, you know, how's your social structure? You know, who's in charge?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it Battlestar Galactica, Adama? Is it, you know, Babylon 5, Captain whatever the hell? Is it, you know, anarchy on the high seas of everybody leave me alone, Serenity, Firefly kind of thing? Is it,
right.
You know, I mean, I have no idea. You know, and I just want the freedom to pick whichever the hell one I want and have the
there
technology to do it.
Exactly, exactly. Well, the technology will empower the choice, I think. So working on it now is working on it for the future as well. You know,
right.
It's all preparation, and I love it.
Well, that's one of the things, you know, this is generational. Oh, you'll dig this. There's a thing called, I just found out about this, and, you know, Corbett knew about it for a couple of years, and it was on my Telegram. Somebody sent it, and it was Google Ledger or something. Have you heard of this?
Yeah. Yes. This is getting into like the digital DNA, right?
Yeah. Pardon me?
This is getting into digital DNA, right?
Yeah. Digital DNA. They want to track every freaking thing that you've ever done as a likelihood of how your children and your parents were. So when a dissident gets arrested or charged or they escape or something in China, they go blame your parents because, you know, his DNA digitally or whatever he was doing was because of you and you let him or made him and it's your fault, you know, and which is probably true. You know, they'll go, it's, you know, it's nature and nurture. I mean, it's how you're brought up. They find out there's some DNA expressed gene of William Wallace of won't do what Longshanks and the King says. And so, you know, anybody that has that trait and, you know, they DNA every baby's prick his heel and put it on a card and they test everything and they go, ah, we need to kill that one, that one, that one, and that one. You know, it's kind of like Solomon, you know, I mean, like, King Herod, I think it was, went around killing all the, you know, the baby boys because they wanted to get Jesus kind of deal, you know?
Right.
And so this is the same kind of thing. And they do see, they got some AI, whatever there, that's seeing some threat that's manifested in your DNA profile of how you think and who you talk to and what you say and the words and the searches and whatever. And they need a VPN consolidation and the malware guys if we need to know who to kill. I mean, you know, don't laugh, man. I mean, if they can, they sure as hell want to. So I'm looking for the ability to be able to maintain relationships and communication and bypassing them by going above the grid, you know, to be, you know, dwell in the air or in space or on other planets, you know, suck it. So then what do we get? You know, separate, but they're going to, you know, we have on one of the covers of our e-zine, it has, you know, one of our spaceships and, you know, our babe there and we were talking about whatever. And above the door, a little Easter egg, if you zoom in on the door archway, it says Widget Sajini. It's kind of like Tan Stoffel, you know. Widget Sajini. We're going to space and government's not invited. But we always invite them. You know, we're just like, you know, so I think the problem of us having the technology and the ability to leave the controls here, I just don't want to take it with me. We need to flesh it out here.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, that's the thing. Like a lot of that, like Google's, you know, Ledger, digital DNA, all of that is really, you know, it's powered by the cloud, right? By cloud computing and so much and all that data getting collected. Here's the thing. In outer space, the cloud can't exist. I mean, it just can't. Like, speeds, you know, transmission speeds, all of that is non-existent. So if you're looking to, you know, someday live, you know, in outer space, get used to not having access to that stuff. And I think that's a good thing, by the way, because I think the cloud's a horrible thing. So, you know, get used to it now and you can, you know, and we're going to be testing it out right here on Earth.
And thank you. You know, we do got to worry a little bit. You know, if we can imagine it, it happens. So when you get Star Trek, you know, light years away and they're talking real time to Starfleet kind of crap, you know, how the hell they subspace communications, they have it. It's quantum communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even that has limitations in like bandwidth.
Yeah. Where, this week.
Yeah. Well said, Ernie.
You know, what we're talking about is you have entangled particles that what happens to one immediately happens to the other, even though it's a light year away. And what they've done, the Chinese, this is already, was already theorized by Einstein. He called it spooky physics at a distance or some crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what happens is they put a satellite up, and regardless of the distance, it immediately communicated the data by, you know, when you have a particles created at the same time with the same event and like laser split photons or whatever, they become entangled, and what you do to one happens to another, even though it's really far away, blah, blah,
right.
Blah, blah,
they spin
blah.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's, you know, we're screwed, you know, so I just, we're going to have instant communication and we're going to be like Dune, and they're going to fold space, and we're going to be going, you know, the James Webb telescope is, you know, 3 months from now, all of a sudden, you know, all the continuation of government guys just leave and they go to Alpha Sin, what the hell, I don't care. And, you know, so this is, it's not, the technological things will be done, and there's stuff that we can't even imagine probably already available. What I'm looking at is the social aspects of it.
Yes.
How do you create? What do I got to do? What can't I do? What's your conflict resolution? So I don't give a crap how many Marvin the Martian buttons you got to blow away the entire universe kind of crap. I go, yeah, that's all very interesting. How do you punish that guy? I mean, you know, how do you, you know, separate from that guy? How do you, you know, so these are the things that Brian and friends are on the bleeding, leading edge of there in New Hampshire. And Brian in particular dealing with all the tech to support this stuff. So this is why, as I start getting near the end of, our tour and us starting to focus on actually living this, because even when we lived in Phoenix, our compound, for lack of a better term, 2 acres there with geodesic domes and aquaponics and aquadomes and the fish and the chicken, turkey, goats, and our, you know, growing carbon nanotubes in my, you know, nickel iron nanotube batteries with the tube furnace in my barn of, you know, crypto mining rigs and blah, 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 blah. I mean, all of that was testing, developing, learning for what we're going to do in 22. What we're going to do in 22. And what is it? We're going to be living the freedom life that we want above the grid. And one of those things is going to be mesh networking, is going to be incorporated in that. Certainly if you're going to have a community, the energy thing I'm feeling very comfortable with. It was what would cost me 5 years ago, $60,000 is now you can do for $10,000, $12,000. I am freaking flabbergasted that I get to put that into the actual building of the shelter. Then I find out with aircrete, and we're going to be testing, putting some graphene with it and see if we can do, you know, a lot of other structural stuff with it. And I'm going, well, hell. You know, that it's all of a sudden it's gone down a third to a third of what I was thinking I was going to have to spend. And now it's like, if you can find the land, that's where the cost is going to be. And then you have crypto hopefully will shoot up again one day. Silver will take off, and then prices, everything else goes down. And the freedom community is like, ha, 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 ha. While everybody else is suffering greatly in the urban areas, we're flourishing in the rural areas. But then you got to worry about security. Then you got to worry about, you know, the GPS coordinates of everybody's grain silo by the man. Then you got to worry about hungry people from the urban areas. Then you got to, I mean, it's always comes down to, you know, social interactions, people that produce, be able to protect what they've made. I mean, blah, 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 blah. But it comes down to the technology that empowers the individual and small groups and families. That's where we're going. And that's what James Corbett was talking about, the consolidation. People are going to consolidate around solutions, and they, them, those are going to consolidate and buy up all the VPNs to, you know, bypass your solution. That's what's coming. And otherwise, you're just a serf and slave. What are you going to be, Brian?
I'm going to be, have my own network. And so that,
and I'll buy it.
That's right.
Gosh darn it.
And that's the solution. That's right.
So, you know, on a personal note, you know, let's get updated, you know, before we go with, you know, the audience. You know, how you doing? I mean, you know, what's keeping you busy in the freer state of New Hampshire and projects you're working on, and what's the evolution there? You think it's happening with all this crap that went over the last year? How do you think New Hampshire's faring?
Well, you know, considering 2020, I feel like personally that New Hampshire has handled it very well. There hasn't been a whole lot of change here. And it's amazingly, I don't feel like it's been in the sights of the news, unlike say Florida or Texas, at all. And things have just gone on. You know, in my, you know, as far as my own life, certainly, you know, I'm one of those people that kind of just never stops. But Sovereign Tech has been, has my show itself has really only grown in audience. I think it's because of what has happened recently that people are seeing the need for reining in, you know, their technology again. And I'm very happy, you know, about that. But yeah, I mean, for me, I am at the same time, you know, also very much just enjoying life. You know, when you have great people around you, when you have a great relationship, when you, you know, when a lot of the social stuff, you're talking about the social stuff, Ernie, when you have a lot of that kind of worked out, you can breathe a lot easier. And that's what's been going on, I think, a lot up here, is people just getting much tighter knit and, you know, realizing how much, you know, we need to communicate and connect with each other. And because of that, I don't know how much we felt the blows of, you know, what came in 2020, here. So
all
you know,
I need
glad for that.
Is the air that I breathe and love you, you know, so, and maybe a little bit of food and some water.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But there's plenty of that here too. So homegrown.
Yeah, this is, one thing that really came to my mind, and I've been thinking about all this time, is when the education and indoctrination of our children became so bad, when everything's poisoned, when everything's GMO, mm-hmm. and everything, whatever benefits you, you know, did some mental gymnastics to rationalize why you need to be in the society of the state of the city of something, is going away. And as I just turned 60 this last March, and all of a sudden I get the claim, you know, gray hair old man status. If I've seen cycles three or four times, I get it, you know. And sure. I go, you know, you spend your entire life raising family, try and save some money. They take it away. They do all kinds of crap happen so that you can have that nice cabin on the lake and retired and piddle around in the garden when you're 60 and, you know, you can hardly bend over and your knees hurt kind of thing or something. And I'm going,
right.
No, you do it when you're 25, you raise your kids up helping you with the garden and they know what the hell a goat is. They know where their, you know, food comes from. They help in the process. You do the barn raising, you go to the square dance on Saturday of whatever the hell you got, you're Amish or something. I mean, you're living the life that you're working decades and decades towards. You could do it now.
Yep.
I'm like, what the hell are we waiting on? We've been conditioned and brainwashed into thinking that it comes later. You know, it's something we're going to do later. Get your kids out of the government mandatory youth indoctrination camps now. Teach them like Jay does, you know, man camp. I mean, you know, somebody needs help. You know, I go, what about women? He goes, oh, a woman is just a man with a womb. And I go, okay, you know, so the logo is a woman, you know, on the man camp thing. So I'm just going, yeah, hell yeah, we need to learn these things. And this is where I think it's not that we, you know, abandon in tech. It's not that we abandon, you know, machine advantage. It's not we're going
right.
to not use heavy equipment. It's not like we're not, you know, hell yeah. But I don't want, you know, Alexa running my world when I could have Jarvis as my own personal AI and do what the hell I, oh, shut up, Alexa. Cancel.
There it goes.
Alexa, stop. God. Son of a bitch, man. That's what I'm talking yeah. about.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Yeah. No, you know, I mean, I think the thing 2020 taught everybody, like, the system's just broken. Like, it's just broken. And you got to, you have to, like, rely on yourself and family and friends. And that's all you've got, you know, and that's what I see happening. And ultimately, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm glad you're there. It's been, you know, too long that you and I have not, you know, got to, you know, just talk and hang. And anything we say to each other is worthy of everybody listening anyway. So what the
absolutely.
Hell? But we'll get you. Yeah, it's been a while. God, it's been at least a year or two. And you know, but I mean, we, you know what each other's doing and got common friends and everything. So it's
we're always keeping an eye on each other.
Yeah, you know, we always know what's up. But you know, I committed. I got it up, and we just had bandwidth problems. Me trying to do it, so we put a whoa on that. But I got my, you know, the man's credit card out and debit, whatever. And I'm going to go ahead and order these Meshtastics. Have them sent directly to you, and we will look forward to. I don't know how long you need. You know, end of the year, playing around next month. What do you think?
Yeah, I like end of the year. I think that's a good test because we'll do it a few different ways. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, because this is the beginning. This is early in this. And this has been something everybody's been screaming about. But I'm just like, yeah, whatever. It comes out of China. What else? Whatever doesn't, you know. But the goal is the same. And that's one thing that I keep hammering on. Everybody wants to do community. You know, Derek Bros and Miriam going around and John Bush, and they're really pushing for another one. They're going to be. They got a place and real estate agents and whatever pushing, they're going to go Texas, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, cool. What do I got to do? What can I do? Which conflict resolution? So it's going to come down. I think what's going to happen is what I encouraged, you know, from the beginning, Free State Project, they marketed doing that at our Freedom Summits before the state was even picked. The day after the selection for New Hampshire was, we had Amanda Phillips, I think it was, you know, came on my live show out of Scottsdale in 2003. You know, it was February, March of 2003 to announce it was New Hampshire. We did our only Freedom Summit outside of Arizona in Manchester a year or two later just to help promote, you know, what was going on there. So I've been covering it and following it from the beginning. And the thing is that my first question to her was this. So what's your secret handshake? You going to have a clubhouse? Is it going to Central Command? You got, you know, I got to, you know, swear allegiance to whatever. I mean, how are you going to do this, you know? And so there's been some of that. But a lot of it has been people just being around like-minded people and just leave me alone-ism. Yep. So I am more for going and sponsoring the local Little League team, you know, having all the kids, you know, learn about using crypto to go to the pizza place that they go after the game with their parents. And it just by osmosis, just being there and living free, being a voluntarist, showing how this works and growing food and helping your neighbor and, you know, and mowing the old lady's lawn and picking her pumpkins. And I mean, you do that and all of a sudden it just happens. Well, do I want to have this little walled off community and we got to walk the wall kind of thing and your turn to shoot the next guy that walks to your front gate? Or do you just have a couple of acres in a community along with a bunch of other people and it just kind of grows into a freedom oriented live free or die state? You know, this is what's coming. I guarantee it. And the bad guys are not wanting that to naturally, spontaneously come to pass. So what are they going to do? Whatever they have to. And the biggest thing is to know what they got to do via surveillance. And this is what's coming. So how far off am I, Brian?
No, I think you're right on the money. And I think that is what's, I think, you know, the solution is coming, but then also the man certainly doesn't like solutions. So
you know, that's a t-shirt. The man doesn't like solutions.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, right on.
I want that hoodie. Anything else, Brian? Go ahead and give out real quick your webpage and go say hello.
Sure, yeah. So again, sovereigntech.com, S-O-V-R-Y-N, tech.com. And there is a lot to see there and a lot to listen to. And we're working on those solutions that the man doesn't like.
You know, thank you very much. Go ahead and turn on your video. I want to see you say goodbye too.
Sure thing, man.
You know, this has been a lot of fun catching up with you. I just, you know, same. Glad that we get to, you know, just say hey, because, oh yeah, I got to open my thing. The, you know, just to get caught up, because I think we're all on the same page. I knew we were. And this is a really it was fortuitous. I wanted to talk to you about, you know, some of the other things, what you're doing, get caught up, say, yo, what's up, and the VPN
yeah,
thing.
Sure.
You know, and then it just, you know, the God, you know, the forces of all that is good or something, you know, put this in front of us that I can get and we can work this out. That's awesome. You know, so thanks to Bob Anderson for, you know, sending that to us. And let's work on it, because this is something that we've been, and I asked him, I go, where did you find this? How did you get this? And he goes, I was just up and, you know, piddling around and boom. And I go, oh, it's only because he knows the right questions. You start following
right.
You know, here it comes. So this has been a great conversation. We'll leave it there. But, you know, I look forward to seeing you again, and we'll talk soon. All right, buddy?
Absolutely, Ernie. Always an honor. Always appreciate it.
All right. Peace, brother. Bye.
Peace.